My name is Olaf. I'm 12 years old. I like to play outside. I like swimming, climbing, downhill biking, snowboarding, and riding my dirt bike. I also like to watch movies, read books, play guitar, and bake. When I want to ride my dirt bike or an ATV on the road, I can't, because the government says I'm too young. When I want to buy a beer, I can't, because the government says I'm too young. And when school gives up cupcakes at school, my parents have signed permission slips saying I'm not allergic to any of the ingredients. But when they want to give me a vaccination, then they say I'm old enough to decide for myself, and my mom and dad don't even need to hear about it. The government says I have a free choice, as long as I say yes. When I say no, I can't get free ice cream. I will be punished. I can't play hockey or any other sports. I don't know what you would call that, but in the Hardy Boys books, which I like to read, that's called blackmail. And blackmail is illegal. The thing is, they never listened to us kids during the last year and a half. They never asked me how I felt about having to wear a mask. Or suddenly, when school was closed. When my first concert I was meant to play guitar was canceled. They never asked me how I felt when I suddenly couldn't play with any of my friends anymore. I feel I'm old enough to take a decision about that. It's not healthy. Playing, hanging out, touching, talking is what we do all day long. Stopping us from doing all these things is not healthy. Don't let them make you think you have to say yes. You can say no. Whatever you decide is okay. Nobody should be punished for deciding what is good for themselves. I want to play and hug my friends and play sports and be happy and healthy no matter what my decision is.
Yeah! Brave little kid, right? Now you gotta listen to this other one. It's so good.
I'm gonna go through a lot of information. How many of you know who I am or have seen me in the media? Anybody? I have to give a great big thank you to Dr. Rainier Fulmick out of Germany. Did y'all see that interview? The German Corona Committee Foundation reached out to me and asked me to provide all of the documentation to them who are suing the World Health Organization with 1,000 doctors. MDs, and they reached out to me privately to give them a 1.5 hour documentation of Anthony Fauci's knowledge of how he was going to kill people before the pandemic started, how he's still doing it right now while you're seated here. And I'm going to give you some of that information here, and I want to put up a slide. I just have to thank Dr. Rainier Fulmick. Also, just real quickly, I got to get this out of the way. If any of you have loved ones who are being treated in ICUs for any of the variants of COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, you have to write this down, convey it to your loved ones, myfreedoctor.com. It is proven these doctors will help you get early treatment for COVID-19, get you the prescriptions that you need for free. Go there. Early treatment is the proven option, and these doctors are there standing for you. They will write you free prescriptions, telemedicine, offer them donations, do it. They will save your life. This, if you can see the screen, there's a QR code there. This has all, if you scan this QR code, put in your email, the documents I provided to Dr. Rainier Fulmick, my disease prevention cocktail to protect all of your loved ones from those who are jabbed and those who are not jabbed, but exposed to those who have the shots. Those documents will be sent to you automatically through that code. I've got 10 minutes. You guys want some information? All right, so what did Anthony Fauci know? All right, let's throw up the first slide. Next slide, please. It was up there. February 2020, China was seeking a patent on remdesivir from Gilead Sciences, who manufactures remdesivir, the drug. This is in February 2020. I want you to go to the next slide. This is just the article. Look here. A study published in the New England Journal of Medicine last week reported a coronavirus patient in the United States. How many? A coronavirus patient in the United States was found to show an improvement after taking remdesivir, which is also used to treat infectious diseases such as Ebola. This is February 2020. This is the lie. All right, next one. Let's look at the Ebola study. This is what I did in May 2020. I've been in the media ever since to educate you guys the current genocidal attempt and murderous attempts of Anthony Fauci, the NIH, the FDA, the CDC are all using remdesivir the same way that they used gas chambers to destroy people in Germany. This is how they're doing it and perpetuating those deaths, using a drug in hospitals. This is the actual Ebola study that Anthony Fauci quoted in May 2020, proved, he said, we're going to use this non-FDA approved drug. It's been approved since, but it wasn't before the pandemic. We're going to use this non-FDA approved drug called remdesivir because it was shown to be safe and efficacious against the Ebola virus in 2018 and 2019. Has anybody actually looked at this study? Because I clicked the link on NIH.gov's website. All of you should do it. This is the study. Ebola virus inside of Africa. They took four regions, gave them all remdesivir and three other experimental drugs. Anthony Fauci said it was proven to be safe and effective against the Ebola virus. So now in this novel virus of the coronavirus, we're going to use it there also. We're going to mandate this one drug. You can't use any other ones, like hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine. Back in May 2020. Go to the next slide, please. So what did the actual study find? They actually found, you can see here, you see mortality up there? Definition inside the study. They found that remdesivir in 6 months, the safety board pulled remdesivir from the study, a one-year study, because it killed more people than any of the other three drugs, including ZMapp, which was put in by the FDA and the NIH. So 6 months into the study, they pulled remdesivir, they pulled ZMapp, which was supplied by our government to Africa because it killed more people. How many people did it kill? Remdesivir killed 54% of all people in the study that got the drug. Do you know what they're treating all of your loved ones with and those you care about in this country now? Next slide, please. Look up here. I'm not lying. This is from the study. Look at the second column from the right, remdesivir. Look below there. 54%. You see that? Mortality rate. All right, next slide, please. He then quoted a second study in May 2020, Anthony Fauci did, that supported the use of remdesivir in the treatment of coronavirus. The Ebola study, by the way, was a lie. No one clicked the link to look at it. I did. This is the other study he mentioned. This was actually done by Gilead Sciences, who makes remdesivir. In early March 2020, they took 53 patients from Japan, Canada, and America who had COVID-19, and they put them on the drug for 10 days. What's the drug? Remdesivir. This is the maker of remdesivir's own trial study. Next slide, please. What did they find? Check this out. 23% in 10 days had serious adverse events. The most common serious adverse events were multiple organ dysfunction syndrome, which is defined as the number one cause of death in all ICUs, by the way. Second, septic shock, acute kidney failure, and hypotension. Look at the next part. 8% had to be discontinued because remdesivir treatment, it worsened or prevented pre-existing kidney failure and multiple organ failure. 8% had to be taken off by days 5 because they were dying as a result of the poison of remdesivir. That's what they found from this study. As a result of these studies, they decided to actually push this on the masses. All of you, this was going to be the drug choice. Why? Because it would actually make COVID-19 look more deadly than it really was. One other disgusting thing, Anthony Fauci and our federal health agencies bought up all of the reserves and stock of this experimental drug in 2020. We didn't even let another country have it till the end of October 2020. Do you want to know why America had the most deaths during 2020 in this pandemic than any other country? We were the only country treating people with remdesivir proven to cause acute kidney failure, multiple organ failure, septic shock, and hypotension, all of which are lethal. This was the great setup. So they set this up so that they can murder people, then convince you people were dying of COVID-19. They didn't die of COVID-19. They actually died from remdesivir poisoning, causing acute kidney failure. If you just listen to the media, the New York press conferences of all the doctors when Corona was going throughout New York early on, they were reporting, we've never seen a virus ever attack the kidneys like this one is. You start treating this virus and it attacks the kidneys and shut it down. Not only are we finding that we have limited supply of ventilators, we don't have enough dialysis machines for their kidneys. These doctors had no idea it was never the virus to begin with. Remdesivir was proven in 30% of all people to cause acute kidney failure. Do you know what happens when you shut down the kidneys in somebody? Your kidneys release water from the body. Guess what happens when you shut them down? Your body retains water. Your abdomen fills with water. Your heart fills with water. Your lungs fill with water. Do you know what they call that? Pulmonary edema. You are drowning these people to death with their own fluids, and they can't breathe. They were calling it secondary pneumonia. You have to listen to me. Still today, they are calling it pneumonia from corona. No, it isn't. They are shutting down everybody's kidneys with remdesivir, causing their lungs to fill with fluid, and they are drowning them to death. Do you wonder why this made me so angry? In May 2020, February 2020, I watched a hospital in Dallas, Texas, kill my father-in-law with the same protocols. They are still doing it today, and they're. I'm telling you right now, anybody who's got a loved one in ICUs, please listen to me. Anybody who's got COVID-19, you're going to be threatened with death if you go into a hospital. They have set this up where they're going to use remdesivir. 31% of people treated for COVID-19 will have acute kidney failure. Their lungs will fill with fluid. Right now, they're adding dexamethasone, which has 4% reported kidney failure for all those who get it. So now you're up to 35%. If anyone listening to this has a loved one in a hospital and they have added to that protocol a drug called vancomycin, which is an antibiotic, antibiotics don't treat viruses, by the way. If they put them on there, upwards of 10% of all of those individuals will experience even worsened acute kidney failure. It will stop their heart, pressure on their heart, make them go into a coma, make them unconscious, and they will die. And they will say it was because of COVID-19. This is not true. Yeah, they're doing it to all of them. All right, so this is the mass genocide that they're using, remdesivir. There's a reason why more people died in America than any other country in 2020. We were the only country using remdesivir, and Anthony Fauci was the one that mandated it. Okay, now what else was disgusting? Let's go to the next one. This was the next thing that made me super angry. In October 2020. All right, so now I have a problem with the NIH, with Anthony Fauci, from May 2020, saying we're going to use a drug proven to be effective against Ebola. Was it proven to be effective against Ebola? No, it didn't even make it to the end of the trial. Why is this guy still alive? Number two. Number two is the FDA. Ready? This report, go back, yeah, look at the date. CBR Plans, a division inside of the FDA. You'll see the FDA logo at the top. This is dated October 22nd, 2020. They were setting up how they were going to evaluate for injuries from vaccines being reported to the government once they started going out in December. This is in October. 25-slide presentation. Good luck finding this link now. I have it downloadable. I hope you got the QR code because I'll send you the whole document. Next one. This was slide 16. If you haven't seen any of my presentations, FDA safety surveillance of COVID-19 vaccines. Look at the list of what they knew was going to start being reported to the government as a result of injuries from the coming vaccines. Disgustingly enough, this list, when the same organization, the FDA, 2 months later in December, created the fact sheets to go out with the vaccines to the entire American public. For each vaccine, they're supposed to list the health benefits and the risks associated with those vaccines. The FDA created these fact sheets. Do you know not one of these showed up on that list or on that fact sheet? I call this criminal. They knew it, but they didn't tell you. Just so you know, on this list, three on the side, on the right, two on the left are all related to blood clot disorders. They knew that 2 months before the shots came out. Look at the bottom right. I know I'm almost out of time. Bottom right, you have to be aware of this. This is what we know is coming from the shots. Don't even ignore on the right top. Isn't it odd that death isn't listed first? pregnancy and birth outcomes, like miscarriages aren't a big deal or birth defects aren't a big deal. We'll list those on the second column. Bottom right, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. Does this say adults? Does this say teenagers? No, it says in children. The Mayo Clinic defines this condition or disease is a serious condition where multiple organs in a child will become severely inflamed and they can die from it, which includes inflammation of the brain, kidneys, spleen, gut, heart, eyes, all at once. Go to cdc.gov, type in MIS-C, which is that abbreviation. It's already been reported over 4,400 children have been reported with this, and over 40 children in America have died already. And they want to start pushing that on your children come September. I have a huge problem with these health agencies lying to you. Throw up the last slide and I'm done. If you didn't get it, go get it. Go to, if you want to, if you can't, QR code it, write it down. If you're listening at home, thedrardisshow.com. My job is to prevent them from being able to kill your loved ones. If you have a loved one in ICU, myfreedoctor.com has lawyers ready to actually contact the hospital and threaten them to put them on other treatments. Do not forget it. You do not have to do what they say. I'm Dr. Artis. Thank you.
That was one of the most important and best said clips that I could find, and I am so sorry that it takes forever to get it, and I'm hoping that not just me but other people are sharing that, because it was powerful and educational and scary, and it then everything he's saying was what I've seen, and that's all I can say about that. And it's so, let's end it, this short one, with what Candace Owens has to say.
Hello and welcome, and I have a sobering question for you. Could you imagine the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole? The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. That's not a question for me, by the way. That actually is a direct quote, and it wasn't even meant as a question, but an assertion from Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, if you are not familiar with his name, is the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. Now, typically, I don't pay attention to the banter of the World Economic Forum, but today I do. I do because in October of 2019, the World Economic Forum, in partnership with the John Hopkins Center for Health and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, hosted an exercise that was called Event 201. It was a pandemic exercise. They invited major corporations, public health, and government officials to simulate coordinating a policy response to a theoretical coronavirus pandemic. The private and public sector got together to model how to react to a global crisis. This is actually a quotation taken directly from the website. It's still up, by the way. Quote, Event 201 simulates an outbreak of a novel zoonotic coronavirus transmitted from bats to pigs to people that eventually becomes efficiently transmissible from person to person, leading to a severe pandemic, end quote. And also on the website, which is really my favorite part, it says, quote, experts agree that it's only a matter of time. So a bunch of experts from the private and public sector sat around and ran models for a coronavirus pandemic that they agreed was inevitable. And just a couple of months later, one happened. But I want to be super clear. The fact checkers, by the way, the people that do the thinking for us online, say that to assume that it was a plan by the most powerful people in the entire world would be incorrect. That would make you a conspiracy theorist. That would make you factually incorrect. Yes, the fact checkers admit that the exercise for the coronavirus pandemic did happen, but this was just a timely exercise. It was a fictional model, not a real one. But yes, shortly after this fictional model, a real coronavirus pandemic in the form of COVID-19 did happen, and that part is just really a coincidence. But you know, for me, it's the kind of coincidence that makes me feel that us regular folk, maybe we should pay attention when these people, these incredible experts, get together and run exercises of the things that they claim are inevitable. So right now, those same experts are saying that a cyber pandemic is inevitable. So pay attention, regular folk. Ready? Yes, the World Economic Forum recently put forth an agenda to figure out what a, quote, cyber attack with COVID-like characteristics might look like. Essentially, the internet, they believe, is going to catch COVID in the form of a global ransomware attack. They claim, for exercise purposes only, that the only way to stop the exponential propagation of cyber COVID would be to fully disconnect all vulnerable devices from one another and the internet as a whole to avoid infection. The whole world could experience cyber lockdown until, ready, a digital vaccine is developed. All business communication and data transfers would be blocked. Social contact would be reduced to just people-to-people in-person visits, copper landlines, snail mail, or shortwave radio. You wouldn't have access to your bank accounts, the internet, or your cell phone. It would all suddenly stop working because they would have to bring the power grid down to stop cyber COVID. But don't worry, guys, because it would be for your protection. The governments would be there to help. We would all be in it together. Plus, they suspect that the power down is only going to last for a little while, just until they can immunize the internet. The experts discussed digital antibodies to protect society from future cyber attacks and misinformation thereafter. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, Candace, that sounds plain evil. That sounds dystopian. I want to remind you guys that this was just an exercise run by the most powerful people and corporations in the world. If it does happen, or I guess when it happens, right, because I said it's inevitable, it's going to be a crisis, a real crisis. And that's going to be the only reason why they need to take control of the World Wide Web. And if or when it happens, I want you guys to remember that the fact checkers of the future will insist upon you knowing that it was not a plan at all. The cyber pandemic was just an exercise of inevitableness. Klaus Schwab also thinks the internet needs vaccinations. He says, quote, we need vaccines to immunize ourselves. The same is true for cyber attacks. Here, too, we have to move from simple protection to immunization. We need to build IT infrastructures that have digital antibodies built in inherently to protect themselves, end quote. This really has me thinking, what tremendous luck for all of the people in power who have been trying to control the internet since Donald Trump's election, since the United Kingdom's Brexit. What luck for the people that have been demanding more online censorship, fact checkers, deleting entire applications like Parler that go against the allowed and preferred narrative that feel outside of their control. What luck to the people that actually disappeared, then sitting president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, from the web. How unbelievably timely and lucky for them that a cyber pandemic is inevitable. Not planned, just inevitable. There is a difference. Also, what luck for the big banks who hate the boom of Bitcoin and other uncontrollable cryptocurrencies. Because also during this exercise, they focused on the inherent cyber threat of cryptocurrencies. Another thing that they're going to maybe have to control. So the end result of a cyber pandemic would be an immunized internet with cryptocurrencies demonized. Amazing luck once again for the people in power. Kind of like COVID-19 was, right? A pandemic, a real life pandemic, by the way, where the rich got richer and the governments ended up with more power. You look nervous. Are you nervous? Don't be nervous. It's just an exercise, an inevitable exercise. Welcome to Candace.
that was something she did, and I totally support that woman. And that clip is on my Telegram, and I don't even know what to say and how to even end this podcast with those two clips that I'm just like, what in the world, Lord? I have to completely rely on you. And I think being a prepper is a good thing with what we're going through. And we're just going, what's going on in this world? How does it line up with what the Bible says is how I personally view it. And I'm just like, are we in closer to the end times than we ever have been? And should be the gospel come out more? And should you be loving and caring and protecting the people that you care about most and getting them some reassurance to all the craziness, that the only thing we can reassure them is that we have a God and he's allowing some things happen. And we know what happens in the end. Because all I can say at the end of this one, I wanted to talk about something positive and something nice with the health, but Candace kind of did drop the mic with that. And Candace, I don't know you. Someday would love to shake your hand and say thank you for being the voice of reason and standing for your faith and standing for our country in a place where people want to come in and just destroy it. And so I'm hopeful that you heard that they are suing all these people. There are physicians that are standing up and saying, this isn't right. I wish there was more of them. You have to be your advocate for your family. You have to be the advocate for your family. You have to be educated right now about your health and how to take care of it naturally and how to prevent going to the hospital, because the hospital is an unsafe place. It's an unsafe place right now. That's how I'm going to end this. Yep, I guess saying these things too could jeopardize me getting in trouble, but that is my viewpoint. That's my viewpoint. So just let me say that, you know, this is not da-da-da-da-da. This is just how I feel. So that's how I'm going to end this one. Please pray.